welcome to the Truth in Love podcast with Nate and Jen Morris. We are super excited to be here with you today. We've got a good discussion coming up. I'm excited to get into that. But before we get too far down the road, just wanted to give a reminder that if you haven't liked or subscribed to our podcast, whatever it is that you use for your podcasting feed, go ahead and do that right now so that you can get these regularly updated in your inbox each time that we publish one. We'd love to keep that information coming before you. Also, we would love it if you would share, if this has been a blessing to you at all, we'd love it if you'd share it with your friends and your family. Just click that share link and pass it on to somebody who you think might be blessed by it. And today we're going to continue a conversation that we started last week. We got a little bit into it and then we ran out of time and we realized, you know what, this is more than one episode. Mm-hmm. So Jen, what are we talking about today?
We're going to continue talking about prayer today. Last time, like Nate said, we got into it. We covered some really good territory about living a life of abiding in the Lord and how prayer is a big part of that. But we really missed quite a few talking points on this. So we wanted to just circle back and talk a little more.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm excited for the discussion today. But just thinking about prayer, I was thinking about sometimes prayer can be awkward. And sometimes it can be awkward when you're in the big circle and it's like, you know, you're going around the circle and it comes to you and you're like, okay, I have to say something now.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do I say? Or it can be awkward when you get asked to pray.
Yeah. Nate, do you ever, like, do you still deal with kind of that awkwardness of if you're asked to pray? I know you pray in front of people a lot on Sundays or, you know, at the office, staff meetings or things like that. But does it still stir up awkwardness in your heart?
Totally. Yeah. Especially because a lot of times what happens is, especially if I'm in a group of like a mixed group of believers and non-believers, somebody's like, oh, we should pray and we should ask the pastor to pray. And it's almost like they're like doing it because I'm there.
Yeah.
And so then I get put on the spot. It's just, it's definitely a little awkward.
But I think it's a sign of respect. It's a sign, like it's a sign of appreciation.
Yeah.
For
it,
sure.
It is. I think you're right. But it does make me awkward a little bit. And then there's times when I'm sure I've made other people awkward because like, mm-hmm. I remember one time we had a couple over and they were older than us. And I was kind of just trying to be respectful to the man of that family. And I was like, hey, would you mind praying for us? And he was like deer in the headlights, just really?
I so relate to that feeling though. I don't like to speak in public. This podcast is a stretch for sure, but when I get asked to pray, I definitely still get the butterflies.
Yeah.
But it's all right. I feel like every time I do that, I have to like just take a minute to breathe and to remember, who am I trying to please? Am I trying to make some really great sounding prayer, or am I doing it out of obligation, or can I just talk to our Father God?
Yeah.
And, just kind of take that pressure off that it doesn't need to be something that, you know, causes all these butterflies, but even if it does, it's okay. It's okay. And the more you do it, it gets a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think it is funny though, if you think about it, right? Cause most of us, if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, most of us pray regularly, at least on some level. You might not spend like a significant amount of time in prayer, but you're thinking and praying to God. And that's a pretty comfortable thing for most people. But then the public aspect of it, it's almost like you're putting on a performance for other people. It can feel like, you know, we know that's not the case, but it can feel like that. So there's the pressure that comes with it and the awkwardness. And I always like to break that up a little bit if I can. You know, the person that walks in late for prayer, you know, and it's like you're in the prayer circle and then the person walks in late and then you just kind of chime in like, I just pray for so-and-so.
Oh man.
Just to break it up a little bit. But if you're listening on Spotify, there's a cool feature where you can go in and leave comments on the episode or you can do polls and things, but we're not going to put a poll on this one. But if you're listening on Spotify, we would love to hear from you, your awkward prayer stories. Mm-hmm. Maybe like the moments that you were put on the spot or you accidentally put somebody else on the spot, just something that sticks out to you. You can go leave it in the comments. We'd love to hear that. You can also email us at nate@mountainlife.church or jen@mountainlife.church. We'd love to hear your stories there as well.
Yeah, we really would love to hear from you guys. We want it to be a dialogue, and we believe that iron sharpens iron, and it's not just Nate and I sharpening each other here. We want to hear from you guys. So if you have any thoughts or feedback or something to chime in, something for us to mull over, even personally, we would love to hear from you. So on that note, though, it's a little different from being asked to pray in a group format, but it's something related to that and something that causes, I think it causes a little bit of a freak out, the idea of going forward for prayer at church or in a group situation, to physically let it be known that you need prayer. I think it's intimidating. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's totally intimidating. I actually remember one time I went to this men's conference, and I don't even remember what it was that the speaker was talking about, but he's like, if this is you, raise your hand, you know, and I was in the back of the room and I was like, that's totally me, but I'm not going to raise my hand. It took a minute. And I finally did. I was like reluctant, begrudgingly, like stuck my hand up in the air, and it was cool because some guys came around and prayed for me in that moment. But the awkwardness there factor is like, people are going to look down on me, or everybody's going to think that something's awkward. We recently did a study on sex at church, and going through Ephesians, it talks about this stuff, right? And the Bible talks about all kinds of stuff. So we're talking about sex, and I was just sitting up there after church, you know, waiting for people to come up and pray. And I'm like, yeah, nobody's going to come up for prayer today.
No.
Nobody's going to come up for prayer today.
Too awkward of a subject.
Yes. But why do you think that is, that it's awkward?
Well, I think that a lot of times we want to keep our relationship with the Lord and our really personal parts of our heart very private. I think that's a very natural human thing to do, to just want to keep our business our own business. And to walk up and to ask for prayer, you know, there are people that will watch you do that. And then there's the element of actually, you know, sharing your need with someone and asking for prayer. It can be very intimidating, but as someone who does prayer team at church and stands up front, I just have to say right off the get-go that I've never heard anything that surprised me.
Yeah.
On prayer team. There's never been anything I'm like, oh, hold on, I need to call in somebody else to pray with us because... I need a breather.
Right.
It is such an honor to get to pray with people. But I recognize that it's hard to ask for prayer. I too can struggle to ask for prayer, but there's something about speaking those needs, those things that are heavy on my heart out loud to someone that I believe that I can trust them, whether they are a dear friend or whether they are, someone in a position in my life, like a pastor, or a mentor or someone like that, that it just, to speak it out loud, to share what's going on in the deepest parts of my heart, brings so much freedom.
Yeah, it really does. I think that this is the reason that, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons that we're commanded to pray with and for each other. Prayer is, we talked about this last week, that prayer is communication and communion with God. That's the heart of prayer. And so we want to be those who are abiding in Christ and focusing in our private time on our relationship with the Lord. But prayer is also our corporate, meaning our together connection with God as well. And we are given instruction in the scripture to pray for each other, to pray with each other. And I think that this is something that we might be a little bit awkward about. Like when I have a need to ask for prayer, it feels humbling. And it is humbling, but that's humbling in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to admit that you're in need, because we're all in need. I mean, like I can't ever think of a time that I don't need prayer.
Totally. It's, I imagine it's the same way for you, Nate, as it is for me. Sometimes every once in a while, someone will ask me so sweetly, what can I pray for you for? And I'm just floored by that every time. I'm like, man, you want to pray for me? That is so cool. I feel so blessed and touched when someone says that. And sometimes I have to think for a minute and be like, all right, you know, what do I feel safe sharing with you? You know, it's not that we share everything all of the time. You know, there's a time and a place to share certain needs, but, it's just such a beautiful thing. It makes me think of Romans 12:15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And this is part of being the body of Christ that I just think that is a phenomenal thing, that truly in Christ we have been united. We have that unity in Him, and we do rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And it's not because someone's bragging.
Right.
And it's not because somebody's being a whiner.
Yeah.
It's that we get to do that with one another, to really dig in on life and do life.
Yeah. That I think specifically at church, whatever church you may go to, and you see the prayer team up there at the end of service or whatever it is, and you feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go up there, even if you need prayer. I just think you should know that those people that are up there, it's their delight to pray for you. They're there because they have a heart for prayer and a heart for people. They're not going to share your news with others.
Nope.
They've been selected, hand-selected by the church leadership. And they are there because, man, that like makes their day, honestly, to get to pray for somebody. So I just think about that. You know, if next time you're at church and you're like, I feel like I need prayer, but I really don't want to go up there, think about the fact that you going up there and asking someone for prayer actually makes that person's day. Like, it's a blessing to them and to you in that moment. So it's a good thing.
So Nate, what do you think, like beyond the what keeps us from asking each other for prayer, really going after it and saying, I need prayer for something, beyond those like inhibitions, do you believe that there is truly a biblical call for that? Or do you think that's just like an offering of the modern church that we suggest this? What's the meat behind this? Why do we do this at church?
Why do we pray together?
Yeah. Why do we invite people for prayer? Like, what's the point? Because we know that we can, you know, enter into the throne room of God because of the blood of Jesus. We're washed clean. We can do that. Why is it important to pray together? Why is it important to ask for prayer?
Yeah. Well, so there's a few reasons, but one, and I think this is something that we as Americans could really learn and do well to learn better, because we're very individualistic, and it's really, we're pretty self-focused. And I'm not trying to be down on Americans in general, but we're an independent society, right? We're freedom and all these things. And the church is not meant to be that way. It's not meant to be independent. It's not a me and Jesus thing. Mm-hmm. It's us and Jesus. We together are the body and bride of Christ. And a body works together and serves together and functions together. And so when we are isolating ourselves, whether it's in prayer or in study or in whatever, there's actually a danger in that. And we're called to come together. It's why in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is talking about, he's specifically talking about here in church discipline specifically, but in this, in the bigger context, but in this one section, he says in verse 19, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. And so what Jesus is saying there is when you come together and you ask the Lord for something together and you're in agreement in prayer, that that thing will be done. Now, of course, we know from other scripture that it's not just you get to ask for whatever you want. If you and I, Jen, decided that we wanted to ask God to give us a $10 million house, do you think that would happen?
I don't.
I don't think so either. That's not what this is saying. Because when you're together, you're iron sharpening iron, and you're sharpening yourselves and each other to pray according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. And when you're praying according to the will of God, you actually can know that your prayers are answered. It says that in scripture. Of course, it's because God's will is going to be done. He does his will, right? But it's important that we pray together. And in that specific scripture in Matthew 18, it says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. It's interesting because we know that he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you to the end of the age. So he's with us as individuals, but there's something different in us being together. And in this context, specifically in prayer, there's something different about praying together than just praying alone.
I'll back you up with that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. There's something in that dynamic spiritually that we know the law has been fulfilled in Christ, but as we are unified in Christ, we are commanded to carry each other's burdens. And sometimes that can be a little uncomfortable if someone comes and confesses something to you and asks for prayer, or if what they're going through is really difficult, there are times when it can become heavy. It can be a little bit of a burden. But yeah. This command says to carry each other's burdens. And then, you know, also Jesus says that his burden is light.
Yeah.
And so the burdens that we're called to carry as we carry one another's burdens is really just that heart of Christ for that individual. And so if you're going through something really hard, you're like, I don't want to put this on someone. I just encourage you. The people who are praying for you, praying with you, aren't going to carry that burden for you. They're going to carry the burden that God's called them to. And just the two of you go into the foot of Christ, of the cross together.
Now, I mentioned something just a minute ago from Matthew 18, where it says, if two of you agree on anything on earth concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we jokingly kind of said, you know, if we wanted a $10 million house or whatever, but what does that actually like mean? I mean, cause there's a lot of people. So some people feel like, okay, I'll pray, but I don't really expect God to answer. Some people are thinking, well, I'm going to pray and have faith and I expect God to do exactly what I'm asking. Mm. In fact, there's even kind of a current trend called manifesting in Christianity. I mean, have you heard of this? Have you seen this kind of floating around a little bit?
Yeah, I have. Just this idea that we have the mind of Christ. And so those things that we think of and we believe are best, that we can manifest them to bring them to be, to fulfill our desires as we pray.
Mm, yeah. There's this silly show that Jen and I watched a little bit.
Oh man.
And I don't know that I recommend it or not. I really don't know. It's not like bad. It's just silly.
Yeah.
It's called Married at First Sight. It's a silly show. Okay.
There's the confession for today.
Yes. So these people basically sign up to get married to a stranger, and then they get married to this stranger, and then they kind of have to live together for 8 weeks and figure it out, like what it looks like. So this one season, there was this girl at the beginning who was a Christian. And she had some really positive Christian characters throughout the show, but
tell she loved Jesus.
Yeah. There's this at the beginning though, she had bought into this manifesting doctrine that is a false teaching, I believe. And she said, this is what I've manifested for myself. I've been waiting for this. I've been praying for this. I've been praying for a husband. I've been excited about this. And mm-hmm. this is like, I've manifested this for myself through faith. Mm-hmm. And
that's pretty close to a quote right there.
Yeah. And she stepped into it and she got married. And I mean, it happened. She did get married, but it didn't exactly work out the way that she thought it was going to. And this isn't poking at her, but it was sad because it ended up in divorce. And she went into it thinking that because I have done this or prayed this or had faith for this, that this is what God's going to do. Where do you think that she got that wrong there?
You know, I think it goes back to that scripture that talks about him giving us the desires of our heart. And I think that we often see that as like a two-party exchange, that we have desires and God gives us what we want. He fulfills those desires. And I actually think that the correct interpretation of that scripture is that God hands us the things that we are to hold in our heart as our desires. Mm-hmm. So he gives us his desires. He holds desires and he gives them to us to desire the same things alongside him. I have just been parking on this verse for probably about a year now. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, it says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And we know that what God cares most about is eternity. And if we're honest, so many times the things that we care most about is this present life.
Yeah.
That's just a hard truth. We need him to make that exchange for us, to change the desires of our heart, to be what his desires are.
Yeah. That's a really good word. You said something specifically there that I really liked, and I can't remember exactly how you said it. Is at the beginning of that where you said he hands us the desires. What could you
his
say?
His desires.
Yeah.
He hands us his desires that we're to hold.
Yes, that's it.
In okay. our hearts.
Yeah, that's quotable right there. Someone should tweet that. He hands us Thanks. His desires that we're to hold. That's a really good way to think about it. That here's the thing. So I guess we've kind of been going about this roundabout to get here, but I think that there is, it's easy to misunderstand scriptures like this because it says that we can pray and we can have faith and we can move mountains with faith as small as a mustard seed. It says that we can, you know, that if two of us come together and ask anything, it'll be done for us. It also says in other places, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of him. So when you read in scripture, it gives us a clear picture that we can actually pray and expect an answer to that prayer in the affirmative if we line our will up with God's will. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we can pray and expect an answer to our prayer in the affirmative if we're just kind of throwing stuff out there, or like I'm praying for this or that or desires that we have. Mm-hmm. But when our desires are in line with God's desires, and I think that's where we get mixed up, right? Because mm-hmm. we think, man, I think that this is important, so surely God must think this is important, and so surely mm-hmm. he's going to answer this prayer.
Well, and so many of those prayers are such good prayers. You know, yeah. we're praying for healing for someone. We're, you know, praying for a difficult relationship. We can be right. praying right on point with what we believe the character of God is and what he would want to see. And I just think it's amazing that God listens to every single one of those prayers. He right. hears them and he cares. He's not annoyed by a prayer that isn't in line with his ultimate will for that situation.
Yeah.
I love that he just listens and he cares all the way through that. But I think that, you know, just getting super personal, I've been having a health thing and I've been praying for healing and just asking God to take it from me. And the other day, as I had a little bit more quiet time with him, going back to our last podcast to really abide in him, he really revealed my heart to me that I was seeking him for healing rather than seeking him for him. Mm. And I was like, oh man, I've created a false idol of health. And, you know, I know that he cares for me and he wants me to be well, but he's allowed this trial in my life. And I think so many times we just want to squirm out from under those trials. And I get it. I've been squirming, but I'm thankful that he revealed my heart to me, that I was seeking my will.
Yeah.
And not seeking him, you know, and I do still pray that he heals me, but I want him.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's really good. I think the question of prayer and answer to prayer is a hard one, because we are commanded to pray with faith, even for things like healing. And mm-hmm. I've seen God heal miraculously and do mm-hmm. amazing things. But we have to remember his answer is not always yes, but his answer is always best. Like what mm-hmm. his answer to our prayers is always for our good. Right. And so when we come to him, you know, I think that sometimes because we feel like we got a no answer to something, whether it be a health issue or a finance issue or something like that, then we start to not have that prayer of faith.
Mm, and yeah.
So it's a hard balance, because we want to walk in faith and we want to have faith that God can and does care about us, even our small things. Last time on the last podcast, I shared about the bike that I wanted and prayed that God would give me a bike, and he did, right?
Yeah.
And he just ministered to me in that moment that he cares even about the small things. But sometimes we pray for the big things and we still don't get the answer. But that shouldn't cause us to then doubt that God can answer prayer as mm-hmm. much as to just yield ourselves to what his will is instead right. of clinging to ours.
And I think that goes back to seeking the eternal, that the things that are most valuable are the things that are unseen. And I know that can be really hard. Mm-hmm. But I want to share James 5, verse 14. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. That is such an incredible promise. Mm-hmm. And I know that there have been those prayers prayed that haven't been fulfilled this side of heaven. But I see the command here that we pray in faith and confidence. I want to encourage anyone listening that we're to continue on in prayer and in faith. You know, we keep knocking on that door. We keep seeking. But remember, prayer is not a one-way conversation.
Yeah.
Prayer is part of a relationship with the Lord. It's communion with Him. Mm-hmm. And so He can change our hearts in that prayer.
Yeah.
He can help us to release those desires of our own heart and release them and then take hold of the desires of His heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I heard this quote, I don't know where it's from, but it said, worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. And prayer is a conversation you have with God about things He can change.
Mm.
And I think on one side of that, it's God can change that situation. And when you're worried about it, bring it to Him. He's the one who can change it. But yeah. He may not change it, but it's conversation, right? So He actually can change your heart to recognize that maybe that thing that you've wanted so bad isn't actually what's best for you. Maybe He has something else that's best for you, but you need to be bringing it to the Lord in prayer. That's the mm-hmm. thing. It's like, I mean, we can pray about anything and everything. Even if you're like, I don't know if this is what God wants, bring it to Him and mm-hmm. ask Him to reveal to you if that's His heart or not. It was John Bunyan who wrote Pilgrim's Progress that said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed.
That's good.
So
that's really good. So Nate, I'm curious, just to like fan that flame of faith, what is an answer to prayer that you hold onto in your heart that is something beyond the bicycle story? You share the bicycle story often. What's another one?
Yeah.
give me a heartfelt.
Yeah, there's a few times where God just so clearly answered prayer in such a miraculous way. Like the one that sticks out to me is when, and I've shared this story before, but when God called us, our family, to move from Lakewood up to the Vail Valley, and we were praying about it and talking about it. And I had, you know, without sharing the whole story, it's hard to not get into too many of the details, but the former pastor of this church here, I had heard from him that he was leaving, and I just felt like God was stirring in my heart that this was something that God was calling us to step into. And mm-hmm. I was talking with you, and we were talking in our kitchen. I remember sitting there and I was like, I just feel like God might be stirring this, and this might be something God's doing. I think I want to talk to Tommy about it. And you and
Tommy, the former pastor.
Yeah. And you in much wisdom were like, no, you can't do that. You can't talk to him about it, because then you're not going to know if it was you or if it was God. Mm-hmm. And you said, what you could do is you could pray that he would call you mm-hmm. and bring it up to you. And so I processed that. I kind of went to work that day, and I was walking out of the office, and I used to go on these prayer walks out of the office that we worked at and for the church there in Lakewood. And I had this path I would go. And so I went on the path, and I was praying, and I was like, all right, Lord, if this is you, would you have him call me today?
Mm-hmm.
And I got back to my office. I sat down at my desk, and not less than 10 minutes later, it was, he called right then and was like, hey, Nate, I think God might be calling you guys to move up to the mountains.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's a crazy story. And one of those ones you just have to tuck in your back pocket for all the times that it's like, man, I just keep praying, Lord, and waiting. God hears and he answers. That's really cool.
Yeah. And that was a good confirmation, because it was a big question. It was moving our whole family. Mm-hmm. It was leaving our church, stepping into a new church, and yeah. all the challenges that come with that. So, I feel like in that situation, looking back, we really needed that confirmation.
Yeah.
Just to step into that. So I'm grateful that he brought it, you know, because yeah. even looking back, it's like, yeah, that was a God thing right there. So,
yeah.
But there's many of those. And I wish that I was better about keeping a journal and writing those things down.
Totally. Me too. I would like to do that. Well, we would love to hear from you guys what your stories are. Last fall, I believe it was, we were part of a small group, and Pastor Paul had put together some notes where we would share how God had, performed miracles or answered prayers that seemed impossible. And we went around this room with about 10 people in it, and the stories of what God had done in the people's lives and around the people's lives that were represented there. It was so beautiful to hear how faithful God is to answer prayers. And it's not every prayer. We don't get every prayer answered. But we spoke of the ones that he did answer. And guys, it was amazing. This, I would highly recommend that with a group of friends or in a small group environment, to just share, just have that conversation. And we'd love to hear from you guys what some of your stories are, to just know how God has answered your prayers.
We really would. Like I said before, you can post that in the Spotify comment section. You can also email us. You can email me at nate@mountainlife.church or jen@mountainlife.church. We'd love to know. The cool thing about talking about answers to prayer is it feels like you're reading the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, we read the Bible and we hear about all these, the miracles and the different things that happen. And it's like, wow, that's so cool. And we kind of feel like that's not happening today, but it is, you know, and God is moving.
Yes.
He's not always doing everything that we want him to do, because if he did, then it would not be doing what he's
then we'd be
do.
God.
Yeah. But he is moving and it's powerful. So we'd love to hear those stories. We'd love to hear those things. And that's about it for our conversation today, unless you had anything to add.
No.
Nope. Okay. Yeah. So thanks for spending your time with us. Thanks for listening in. And as Jen said, we'd love to hear feedback, thoughts, podcast topics. If there's something that you're like, man, I'd really love to hear you guys talk about this.
Yes.
Let us know. Put that in the comments or email us. We'd love to connect with you on that. We'll be back soon with another fun one. We haven't decided our next topic yet, but we've got a list of them we're going to go through. So, stay tuned and thank you for listening.